Good evening, anarchists everywhere, and welcome to tonight's Anarchy in the UK with me, Ian Bone. Two radical innovations tonight. We have two studio guests instead of one, and they're not from London, they're from Norwich. So it's welcome to Tug Wilson and Harry Kay of Now or Never magazine. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Okay, Now or Never magazine, for people who've never seen it, Tug, what is it? What's it like?
Well, it's very difficult to describe. We always have problems. I mean, historically, we always described as an anarchist magazine, but it doesn't really quite cover it, does it? It's a real diverse mixture of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a newspaper, and now it's a magazine, so we sort of have aspirations for it to be something like FHM, but it's probably somewhere between a fanzine and FHM, heading in that direction.
So in a circulation war with FHM, so they've got about 390,000, and you're gaining on them by the minute.
Yeah, we're about 300,000 at the moment.
Give us a flavour of the content, because it has got a content like what no other anarchist magazines have. Just give us a flavour of the kind of stuff that you have articles about.
Well, the thing is, it really does vary from publication to publication. Like, the previous issue and the next issue quite often will be, like, two different publications. It really just boils down to what people send in.
Yeah, I mean, some of the articles we've had in, we had one of our reporters drink his own urine for a week.
I don't do that on FHM.
I said urine. and we've had someone investigate Pentecostal churches, but seeing if they actually did roll around on the floor and rattle their sort of buckets for the cash afterwards.
You have known to be offensive to religions, I believe.
Yeah, can we sort of name the thing that we might get killed for?
Yeah. It's a bit of a raison d'etre in a way, for some reason. When we like poking fun at nearly everything, really, including the anarchist movement.
Yeah.
But obviously one of the things...
Surely no scope for humour there, Conway.
That's what keeps us laughing all the way to the pub. But one of the things that obviously is ripe for humour is religion in a way, and it can't help but... It's a bit like shooting fish in a barrel, but, you know, we can't help shooting those fish, really.
I don't think there's enough Mickey taken out of religion, is there? You know, I mean, it's so ridiculous it deserves to have a Mickey taken out of it much more than happens. It's going to be a bit of a blind spot with a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things we have, like, say, we've had a look at the Pentecost lists. I mean, nearly every issue we have something about religion in.
Did you sit there one day going, we're going to take on the Pentecostalists?
Yeah, that's right. They just happen to be next door, it's easy.
You thought we'd give the Seventh-day Adventists a miss this week, like that.
Well, one of our writers, Pisky, he is the guy that drank his own urine for a week, and he's the same guy that actually sort of went to the miracle healing night at the church.
After he drank the urine?
Yes, it was.
he went along and was asked to be cured, or...?
I think he just went along as a bystander, yeah. And they did hone in on him, seeing him as sort of new flesh, sort of ripe for corruption. But he kept them at arm's length.
And I believe you had a conversion to Maoism as well in one issue.
Yeah, that's right. We
much the same thing.
Adopted
really.
Maoist politics, and we continue to do so to this day, don't we?
They are now getting a little red book out and waving it at me. And through all the vagaries of from Pentecostalism to Maoism, your loyal readership stays firmly attuned to you.
Yeah, people just roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, because we have different things in every issue, you can't really get bored with it. There's something different every time. I mean, sometimes that makes it really difficult to explain what it's like, because we, you know, we cover religion. We've looked at energy light bulbs, whether they work or not very well. You know, we've looked at, you know, whether toothpaste can kill you. We've looked at
just on that one, what conclusion did you come to?
Yes, I think it does actually. Yeah, especially if you're putting it in your eyes. But then we've also had people writing about the Amazon Dam and about the sort of Icelandic dams that, you know, some green people are going over there.
Any dams? So, we'll yeah. cover it.
Are we in favour of dams or?
I think the consensus is dams are bad mostly. Mm.
But I think one of the things is we don't tend to have a consensus about hardly anything, which seems to be what makes it work in a way. There's about, you know, quite a few people that contribute towards the magazine, and we don't necessarily have to agree with them for it to go in the magazine, which seems to be what makes it work. You know, we don't always agree with it. Like, so we have actually had a couple of articles not really defending religion, but saying, you know, why religion, certain things work, And, you know, we've had some people say they're really green and give us all their green issues, and we've had other people arguing about why some green stuff's a load of nonsense. So
yeah, it's quite often conflicting.
Yeah,
stuff.
And you're blissfully free of the usual turgid agitprop, which goes in a lot of anarchist magazines. When you look at it, and you can tell what's coming on the next page. With Now or Never, you turn each page wondering, with wonderment as to what you might find.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want basically anyone to pick up the magazine and find something of interest.
So when did the light bulb moment, when did you start the paper, and whose idea was it, and how did it come about?
We started in 2002. There was a handful of us who used to be in Norwich Unemployed Action Group, which fizzled out, and we were just...
Because you all got jobs.
No. I'm not sure why it fizzled out, to be honest. Just as these things do, sometimes things run their course. Yeah. And we just decided we wanted to carry on doing the same kind of stuff we were doing, because Norwich Unemployed Action Group is quite a fun group. We didn't take ourselves too seriously, very action orientated, and we thought we'll start a new anarchist group and why not have a publication to go with it. And from the start we wanted it to be humorous, to be diverse, and just want something that people would actually read.
Is it still a labour of love? You're still as keen on it, your baby, as when you started?
I think so. I think especially since we've adopted the magazine format.
Yeah. And what was the reason for the change from the tabloid format to the magazine format?
It was just practicality, really. We wanted it to reach further afield. It wasn't going to get distributed as a paper, so we just felt we had to bite the bullet and adopt a more accessible format.
Harry, a lot of sort of independent bookshops where you might get rid of Now or Never seem to have packed up. How do you manage with distribution and sales?
Yeah, distribution is the hardest bit, I think. You know, it really has. I mean, we work really hard on that magazine and getting it to look really nice, and then, you know, it could just sit there all under our bed, you know, thousands of copies. So we approach pretty much most of the independent bookshops in the country, and most of those do sell some. But we also sell it through some music shops like Rough Trade, All Ages Records, some of the sort of more sort of like punkier or independent record shops, and a few sort of lifestyle shops, you know, the ones that like head shops and stuff like that. And we sell it at stalls and events, like, you know, it might be like Glastonbury Festival or, you know, the Anarchist Book Fair and those sort of things. So, but it is really hard getting out. I mean, we have a website now as well, so we're getting some feedback from people who are finding the website and then sending off four issues or back issues. But that is the hardest bit, and that's where we're actually really trying hard to get it out to most people, because that's the whole point of it, really, is we can get it out to a lot of people. They find it really interesting and fun, and they sort of see stuff that's, you know, got that sort of bit of an anarchist tinge to it as well.
Yeah, so any listeners that run a shop, maybe get in touch if you want to stock it.
Yeah.
A quick plug there.
Absolutely. Our distribution is a major problem for all sort of, you know, anarchist magazine. I mean, would you sort of like a deal with some sort of national distributor so you could get it in W.H. Smith?
And absolutely. I mean, we've approached a couple of distributors who do distribute it to, you know, the major bookshops and major record shops. So we're just sort of keeping our fingers crossed now, really. We jumped through all the hoops and we just got to see if that works. I mean, it's no good if... I mean, we enjoy doing it, but if we're just looking at ourselves and it's going around the same old crowd, then it's a bit pointless. That's not what we're doing it for. We're doing it so we can get it out to people that wouldn't normally pick up an anarchist magazine. You know, because some of them can be sort of, you know, as dull as ditch water and just quite disempowering, really. You read them and you never want to sort of get involved in anarchy again. So what we're trying to do is make a magazine that's really interesting to read and has some stuff from the anarchist, you know, movement and ideas in it as well, as a sort of, you know, feed into it all, really.
Yeah, I mean, that is the frustration. To produce a magazine you're really confident in, really like, you know, the product's good, and then you can't get it out to the punters. I mean, if you had, what would make a difference there? I mean, if you had money, would that help with distribution? Is it just a question of what?
It's difficult to tell. I mean, at the end of the day, distribution is in the hands of the distributors. Yeah, if they won't take on our product, then we're stuffed. But that said, if we had more money, we could raise the production values of the magazine. We could have it printed in full colour, maybe some perfect binding, make it look real swish, and maybe the distributors might be more interested.
Yeah. Harry, if you did have a lot of money, what would you make it like FHM or
definitely?
How would you do that?
My complete pipe dream would be that it would sell by the thousands, like FHM. It'd be on the shelf. People would pick it up because they like what's inside it, but it would have of an anarchist angle to it. I mean, a lot of the stuff, if you read through Now and Ever, not every issue has stuff that's, you know, from the anarchist movement in there at all, but each article has, you know, that sort of spin to it in a way. You know, we'd be looking at things, we'd be breaking things apart, you know, we're quite skeptical about things, quite, you know, not without being cynical. We're not cynical about it, because it's humour throughout the whole lot. We like to have a laugh about stuff, often our own beliefs or the beliefs we might have had 10 years ago. So yeah, ideally it'd be FHM, or it'd be next to FHM or New Statesman, but obviously not as dull as New Statesman, and people would pick it up because they like it, and you know, there'd be a few anarchy stuff in there as well. That's my pipe dream. We're hoping to hit that by about 2012, just when the world comes to an end.
That's your "I have a dream" speech.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really so. Anyway, that's quite subversive. Really, you sort of lull people in with the FHM bit, and then hook them with a proper bit of subversion by subversing what they're expecting to see inside, sort of thing.
Much in the way the Daily Mail or the Sun works on their readership, get the ideas out there and sow the seeds, and hopefully people will.
But it's not just a Trojan horse thing either. We're not just putting the other stuff in because we want to snare people. We're putting the other stuff in because we like it. You know, we like, you know, finding out why
you're drinking urine.
Yeah, that's right. Whether it tastes different if you put it in an ice cube first, you know. They're the sort of things that amuse us. So, you know, if I picked up a magazine, that's the sort of stuff I'd like to read. I'd like to, you know, someone trying out a urine lollipop, or, you know, seeing whether, you know, toothpaste kills you, or, you know, whether, you know, eating sprouts is good for your health and it isn't, and, you know, or even just the practical stuff, because some of the things we tried right from the early stage was putting practical information in there. How can people save a bit of money? You know,
tell us a few of those tips then. Can you remember them?
A really good example of how we actually were of some practical use to someone once.
Hang on, this is a world source. An anarchist magazine has been of practical use to someone once. Get your pens out.
We ran an article explaining exactly how people could claim back bank charges. We laid out a dummy letter so that people just had to fill in their details. And we put that in the paper. And a few issues later, youth section, our chief salesman, was touting our wares in a local pub. And he bumped into someone who said that they got £500 back because they followed our advice from the paper. So,
and slapped 50 quid in onces into your eager hand.
Sadly not. They didn't even have the good grace to subscribe. Shame on them.
What a rosy glow that must have been. But also you're able to sort of run off, as you mentioned, sort of quirky interests. I think you've got a sort of train spot, the special plan. That's the key ring, isn't it? Being able to chase your own interests, which will sort of sustain your sort of commitment to the magazine, running off to quirky little things, which other anarchist means will never reach because they're just very mainstream political, yeah. Is there a train spotting one coming up?
We hope so. We were meant to have it last time, but that's when we've decided that Mao had a really sexy face and decided to become Maoists for an issue, and
we hadn't quite figured out what the Maoist position on trains was, so yeah.
Mao will be very keen to keep the Norwich Cromer branch line open built into his
hopefully up and coming soon we'll have a train spotting edition.
And how do you sort of, I mean, because it does maintain a really good sort of level of humour all the time. I mean, do you sort of sit in a room with lots of alcohol and bounce ideas back, or do you have sort of blinding moments when you jot it down and think, we'll stick this in the paper? Is it done during the process of actually doing the magazine, or just stuff you sort of come up with for each issue by magic?
I think it used to be more collaborative like that. We did used to get together and bounce ideas off each other. But nowadays, it's more just people submit their individual stuff and it just happens to be humorous.
Do you ever stick stuff in which you thought was a good laugh and really funny, and then when you see it in print, you think that's not funny at all? Really. Consistent quality.
I can't think of anything, because the thing is, if we put something that's bad in the magazine, we just don't care.
Yeah, it's just bad.
So
anyway,
if it's not funny, it doesn't actually matter.
Because we don't have all the same ideas anyway. I mean, there's stuff that goes in there that I actually cringe at. But then I know there's probably people that read the stuff that I might put in, hate what I put in, you know. So, you know, we just put it in.
And it's you two, more or less, decide on the editorial content. Did you ever attempt to sort of democratise and collectivise the magazine at once and make decisions by committee? And
well, we never did. I mean, there was an attempted coup.
Oh, coup d'etat. People have been following your Maoist rhetoric. Yeah. When did you first realise the coup was on? These people in forage caps with red stars turned up. Go on, tell us about the coup.
Oh, just some people whinging, really.
No, name names, come on.
No, they're sort of friends, really, that, and it just sort of got out of control because it was part of Norwich Anarchist Group as well. We were all sort of doing lots of different things. And it just became a bit committeeized or collectivized, and so all the decisions were put out and had to go through, like, the central committee. And it just got a bit dull and turgid and just, you know...
I think certain people wanted it to be similar to other anarchist publications out there that are doing sort of fine work, but there's no point in replicating another publication that's always already doing something very well. And we wanted to maintain something unique.
Trying to get listeners a handle on what it's like. Is it? Can anything you can? What do you think? Is there anything you can compare it to? Give people a rough idea, like Mad Magazine or something.
Well, I don't know. I mean, a little bit. It's a. Some of it's a little bit like Oz, although that's going to mean nothing to anybody nowadays, really. Everyone and to anybody that used to read Oz is going to go, no, of course it's nothing like that. So, because it's got so many different things in it, it's really difficult, I mean, to say what it's like.
It's I can go back even further to the great days of Mad Magazine, which was the only subversive paper around when I was a kid.
I mean, it has
110
been,
years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it has been sort of said it's a bit like, you know, Viz, although, you know, it doesn't have cartoons in, so it's more like the other bits of Viz, you know, like the funny adverts and the spoof stuff.
Yeah. If you could do a Viz style circulation, you'd be.
Well, they started from humble beginnings. Humble beginnings. Just touting their wares
and you've managed to stay there. That's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, we're perhaps maybe one day we'd approach the that guy that's in Viz that used to do Oz that's made a load of money. Felix, what's his name?
Felix Dennis.
Yeah. So
he's no good. Everyone I've known's approached him for money.
Damn it.
He's a right tightwad. He finances his vanity publishing poetry now, which is absolute dire. But he usually goes around the country offering free wine, which you can guzzle. Norwich Anarchist. I mean, are they in a permanent state of Woolworth Ipswich Anarchist?
Well, Norwich Anarchists don't actually exist anymore. So.
Oh, no!
Actually, I'm not convinced Ipswich Anarchists do
either. Oh, I just made that up, because I was going to try Cromer.
But when we were both there, we hated each other.
Yeah, good, yeah. Territorial war. You usually find anarchists outside London tend to get on a lot better than anarchists in London, because in London there's enough anarchists to actually fall out with each other on ideological ground, you know, the syndicalists against the communists, against the lifestyleists. Often outside London, because there's so few anarchists, they generally tend to sort of rub along well. Is that true in Norwich? Or?
I think for the most part that is true.
Because they sort of see each other in the street and cross over and look the other way, pretending you haven't seen the Norwich Anarcho-Syndicalist League approaching.
No, all pretty chummy, Norwich way.
And what about the book fairs? There was the sort of book fairs there, anarchist book fairs for a bit. What happened to them?
They were just too much hard work. And I think we had some limited success with them. I think we made a decision to really push it just to the general public in the streets. We had some sort of full-colour postcards made up to promote it, and we handed out these in the street. And we seemed to get quite a few just for passers-by just coming to the book fairs. Which I think is our success, but at the same time, there's a hell of a lot of work, and it probably wasn't worth it. So we packed it in.
When Now or Never started, was that intended? Was your sort of sales much more locally based then, and it's gradually gone national? Is that something that just sort of crept up on you, or is that a conscious decision to sort of?
When we started out, we intended it to be a local publication specifically, and just. By pure chance, we ended up distributing it nationally, and it's just had less and less of a local emphasis as it's progressed.
Did you ever sort of get out in the streets in Norwich and sell them? Or?
We used to. With it as a paper, we used to do it. I mean, I can remember times when we'd be outside the job centre pretty much giving them away, because it used to be 37p at one stage.
37p? Yeah. Not 37 and a half.
No, 37p.
I'd love to have been at the committee when that decision was taken. that'd have been a 10-hour argument, no doubt.
We did actually have a lot of arguments about the price.
Yeah. But yeah, it was 37p, so we were sending it out to the job centre, all pretty much giving it away, and that was great to be able to look through the window and see all the people sitting in the job centre reading, you know, their sort of tabloid Now and Never when it was a newspaper. So that was quite good fun. But say now we're really, you know, trying to get it out, because that had a limited success, but it really didn't sort of have the success we hoped for locally. We didn't sort of really get going there. So now we're sort of aiming a bit sort of wider, because it's gradually crept wider. You know, you can now buy it in Scotland, you can buy it in Southampton, you can even get it in Australia, bizarrely.
I was going to ask about your overseas. You get subscribers from overseas?
Yeah, a handful. Got one subscriber from the Central African Republic.
Bloody hell. Probably the Emperor Bokassa or something like that.
Yeah, that's his
crazy dictator. Some crazy dictator, yeah. And you're not just a paper now. You're a website and distribution, and you produce your own some CDs and shirts and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, we produce a variety of merchandise.
Go CDs. On, give the merchandise a plug. What do you do? What's your bestseller? What would you like?
I don't know. I mean,
what have you got tons of you want to get rid
of? Yeah, too. We've got a great CD that we suddenly found about another 500 of in someone's loft when we thought we were doing pretty well with them.
Well, now's your chance to play it.
The Now or Never sounded, there were £4, P&P included. Just send a cheque payable to Now or Never to PA Box 487 Norwich.
And what's your website?
So I'll let you speak on that, Harry.
That's just Now or Never. So if you Google that in, you should find it, really. But you know, it's www.nowandnever.org.uk, and it's pretty much like a SIST thing to do with the newspaper.
So it's all to do with the newspaper.
Yeah, it's got articles from the old newspapers in there. It's got some sort of news. It's got various, you know, bits and pieces that mostly come from the newspaper, a few that haven't, just to sort of get people up to date. And it's got a shop there, so you can go and buy your Now and Nevers from the Now and Never website. And we sell some T-shirts, but we mostly sell them at stores, because it's a bit difficult to keep making them for individual people when they're different sizes.
Oh, people come along, have you got the extra large?
Yeah, that's right.
300 the medium, and you go, it fits, it's perfect.
But so we sell them at stores like the book fair. We did get attacked by some religious women at the book fair one year because one of our T-shirts was religiously offensive.
Did you fend off her attack, or were you badly hurt?
No, the walking stick had one of those rubber things on the end, so that's what hit me instead of the actual wooden
when you
stick.
You blew
bit.
Down it.
Yeah.
And but people still doing sort of distro stalls and that. You do them at gigs and stuff. Is that still possible these days? Do plenty of gigs
and comedies as well. Some like comedy gigs sort of things sometimes, and bands. But you know,
do you actually sell much of those? Or?
If we can get inside, like if we approach the people and they let us get inside, sometimes if we just have to stand around outside, it doesn't always, because sometimes people just don't even know what Anarchy is, to be honest.
I don't think we're helping.
No,
I've been wondering myself. Let's see, just we got about 10 minutes left. Let's go back to before Now and Never and find out. I mean, Harry, how did you sort of first get involved in any sort of politics, anarchist politics?
I suppose my parents are fairly, I can't think of a word for it really, not really free thinkers, but they used to let you think for yourself, and they let you make you change, you know, your ideas and stuff like that. So I guess as I grew up and I guess sort of hit teenage times, I wanted to find something to do, and I just got involved in animal rights, mostly because the group was there, and there was a handy group to get involved in, which was doing active stuff. So I just got into animal rights, and from that into hunt sabbing, and then from that into sort of green activism, and then sort of anarchy type, you know.
And was that all around Norwich, or were you elsewhere at the time?
Yeah, around that area, yeah. And it was just, you know, that seemed to be what was going on, and I just sort of threw myself into it, really. Yeah.
So do you actually go out hunt sabbing?
I think that was probably one of the most enjoyable things I've probably done, really, because it's, you've got a nice group together, you're all doing something where, you know, you're out running around in the fresh air, so it keeps you nice, fit and healthy. Yeah. But you're also combating, you know, you're more or less combating the, you know, the people in the red coats there, and
the
then
class,
you know,
enemy is there.
Exactly, you know, you had the police trying to, you know, fit you up every day, you know, or every Saturday in the hunt, trying to, you know, whack you over the head with their whips, and in the meantime you were sort of, you know, actually doing something every weekend, so that was quite good fun, really.
What about music? Were you sort of part of that punk music stuff?
But most people seem to come into anarchy through punk. They like punk, they get into anarchy. I sort of did it the other way around, really. I was into animal rights, then I was into sort of greenie and anarchy type stuff, and so then I quite liked the punk music and the sort of protest stuff going on, so I got into punk through anarchy, which is usually the opposite way to the way everybody else seems to do it.
And what about you, Tug? What was your first involvement in politics or anarchist politics?
I joined the Solidarity Federation when I was 18. And as an 18-year-old, I found it quite boring and soon left.
Hundreds of Solidarity Federation, I mean, even now.
And there's some solidarity for you as well.
Writing in, complaining bitterly. Yeah, so yeah, that can be off-putting.
And so I ended up joining a sort of splinter group, Norwich Unemployed Action Group, and sort of rolled with them for a bit. Got up to all sorts. Didn't take ourselves too seriously. Had a lot of fun. That fizzled out.
And was music a part of that? Sort of punk music? Or
yeah, I mean, that's what introduced me to the idea of anarchism. Yeah.
Who did? Was that Crass or 77 punk?
Yeah, well, I sort of started off listening to 77 punk, then started listening to Crass and other anarcho-punk bands, and that's sort of like my first education in anarchy.
So you still got sort of cassettes of all sorts of punk bands under your bed?
Under the stairs,
under
yeah.
The stairs. I always wonder about punk music. I mean, at the time, anarcho-punk, whether it was an aid to getting out on the streets doing something, or it was an alternative to doing it. You know, people go to endless squat gigs and never get out and do anything on the street.
I think it probably only helped things, really. Yeah. I mean, it's a movement of rebellion.
So who's the band we haven't heard of from Norwich? Who are Norwich's anarcho-punk legends?
Visual Offence.
Are you out there, Visual Offence? You've been name-checked.
I think they've actually just played their last gig.
Publicity's come too late.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's just punk either. I mean, there's all the whole rave stuff. I mean, I got into rave as well because, you know, that's what, you know, people are going out and putting on the legal rave, so that got me interested in that. So, you know, there's a huge, with the Reclaim the Street stuff as well. I mean, that was rave based in a way, so, you know, it's not just punk, is it? It's sort of all different stuff.
So every 10 years there seems like a new generation of people are influenced by music. It might be Crass or the 77 Minutes, the Chumbawamba, all the Levellers, and a different level. The trouble is, each 10 years none of those people know the previous 10 years people or something.
So we're reinventing the wheel every time.
Yeah, they don't actually know each other in the same town, which is... So are you excited about the forthcoming G20 summit and the Bank of England stuff and all those huge events of the Summer of Rage coming up in London? Is there a special train being hired from Norwich to bring crazed revolutionaries into town and a special edition of Now or Never?
No. That sounds awesome. We'll be there.
Oh, I was trying to build it at the head of steam there. In terms of what influences you, I mean, we've talked about music, you've talked about magazines. Is there anything else which has been influenced on you, like books, films, anything that you sort of can look back at and think that was...
I think people have influenced me, to be honest. You know, girlfriends or friends that have, you know, shown you sort of things or shown you interests that you haven't known and got you more and more involved in sort of anarchist stuff. And I think, you know, if it's people or people you don't know that are on the edge of a movement you're involved in and they go and do something or tell you about something, you know. Some of the times that I've found really interesting literature is when I've been like a squat or sort of commune or something like that sort of thing, and I've been in a toilet and there's usually like a toilet literature and you flicking through a magazine never seen before going, oh, this is really interesting. So maybe that's where Now Never will end up, really, just sort of toilet magazines in some squat somewhere that someone's going to pick up and go, oh, that's really interesting.
Sounds the ideal place for it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I still read something recently that most people are influenced not by magazines, but they're influenced, you know, by friends and acquaintances in a way that's, you know, people just don't realise that they are. Right, we've got a couple of minutes left. Anarchy, do you still believe in anarchy? In the way that you used to when you first discovered it?
I believe in anarchism as much as ever. Just slightly disillusioned with anarchists, to be honest. I think they're a bunch of chancers.
Harry?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are doing anarchist stuff without realising it. You know, most groups and the way most groups get together and organise themselves and work in men's clubs to anything else, really, they run in an anarchist way. They just don't realise they are anarchists. So it's a case of making people aware of it, really. But, you know, as long as we can have a bit of fun on the way, really, I think that's the main thing, you know, rather than just sort of hoping for the sort of pie-in-the-sky stuff. If it comes, it comes. As long as we can have a laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I think the real sort of position for anarchists at the moment is we're not really on the verge of any sort of great victories. I think the main thing we can do at the moment is try and influence various aspects of society, sort of chip away at it at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of voluntary stuff, you know, like pigeon fanciers are running the anarchic sort of way. Okay, it's been really great, Harry and Tug. Thanks very much. That's Now or Never, which you can Google in the Now or Never website to come up. That's the hot news from Norwich, and we'll be back with another Anarchism in the UK next week.